T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I am too.
I think that would have been a lot of fun.
I think you and I were like really excited about that, right?
It would have led to some maybe fun endings of games, coaches' strategies coming to the forefront.
And games not really being over till they're over. I mean, you got 2 minutes left, 11-point difference.
Coach,
you got a chance.
On using it and when not to use it.
Yeah.
All those things would have been kind of fun.
But I think it would have been fun for the game. There hasn't really been a rule added in to the NFL or to any sport for that matter that like really got me excited, where like I'm like, oh, I want to see this happen. Usually they'll add a rule in and you'll be like, all right, whatever, I don't even know what that means, you know. And this one, not only did you know what it meant, but you're like, that's going to be a lot of fun, man, both from an offensive and defensive standpoint. And from our standpoint where we sit, hey, we got a great offense that can convert a 4th and 15. And now that we've got a good defense here in Kansas City, I'm like, well, they can go out there and stop it. Like 2 years ago, I may be like, oh, we want to do that thing with this defense floating around. But now that we've got a defense that's good, you know, top 7 defense in scoring from a year ago, I'm like, yeah, let's add this in. It could be a lot of fun, man. Woo! Like something different, because the onside kick only works 11% of the time. I mean, the odds are so against you when you try that onside kick. And now with the safety precautions in place, you can't get that running start. You can't blow somebody up on that onside kick like you used to be able to. You really don't have a chance to get that. So I thought it was something that could solve a problem and make the game more exciting. And the 16-16 vote, I still think, is optimistic because it's going to continually be brought up. And maybe somebody thinks of something better, but I think we're going to see a change. And I think we are eventually, probably next year now, obviously, we're going to see something exciting added in to replace the onside kick. It may be this, and people may talk about it, go, yeah, that really does add excitement to the game.
The XFL scramble, that's what we need.
That would be good, too. Like, yeah, like at the beginning.
I feel like somebody broke a collarbone doing that in the XFL.
But, you know, but this is obviously safer than an onside kick, too. So you just eliminate that whole thing and you go. And Andy, I mean, said,
it just felt like the NFL, like, looked at the numbers and they're like, well, this is too much of a proposition that we think is going to be good for some of the good quarterbacks. Because, you know, yesterday with Rich Eisen, Andy said that the league conversion rate on, you know, down and distance like that would be about 30%, somewhere in the 30% range.
Which is 20% higher than getting an onside kick. Yeah. And it's still low enough where it's, you know, 70% of the time you're not going to convert.
Right, but mind you, that's league average. I don't think you have a league average quarterback here in Kansas City, and I think if you're an NFL team that considers yourself in that group that doesn't have a league average quarterback and that you have a guy that can make things happen, a guy that could extend a play, I'm thinking Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, like those types of players, like Drew Brees is another one of those guys I think can make something happen. Like those types of players, I feel like it's creeping into like a 40% proposition. And all of a sudden you're like, that's too damn high for an onside kick. Like that's just too much. I think that too many people were concerned about the idea of having possession stolen away and being put into like a 14-0 hole early in a game against a team like the Ravens or the Texans or the Saints or the Chiefs.
But I will tell you this, Ryan, if you have one of those quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes, like Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, chances are you're not using that fourth and 15 because you're not trailing. You know, it's going to be for the team.
You're not going to use it in an aggressive manner like we would hope they would.
Right, right. What you're going to have are the teams that don't have good quarterbacks out there that are trailing that need to utilize that. And so I think by saying like, oh well, it's such an advantage for a team like the Chiefs, it is. But like the Chiefs probably aren't going to be in that position much where they have to utilize that rule on
offense. Well, we saw last year, right? The fourth downs, they're a team that just didn't go for fourth downs.
Right, but on third and 15 or longer, they were 12 of 13.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not overly aggressive in going for fourth downs. They ran the least amount of fourth down plays or whatever it was last season, so they're not a team that has typically done that. 16-16 was the vote, according to Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. Needed a two-thirds majority pass, and so they may try it again at a later date. Mike Giannitti of Spot Rack joined The Drive yesterday on 610 Sports Radio discussing dollars and dollars involving the quarterback. And they asked him what a Mahomes deal could potentially look like.
You got to get to that $40 million mark, in my opinion. And then that also means $120 million over the first 3 years. And that's really hard to do when you're sitting here trying to crunch the numbers and also trying to keep the Chiefs cap at bay, because they've got about $3 to $4 million to work with in 2020 right now. So unless they get creative with how they structure this Mahomes extension, they're going to have to maybe extend or restructure Travis Kelce and a couple other contracts to make this all kind of come together. But that, to me, those are the big numbers. It's probably it's a four-year extension at $160 million of new money, and 120 of that lives in the next three seasons.
Oof. But 40 looks like the number. If Dak or – and he noted if Dak or Deshaun Watson get something done first, maybe that pushes that number.
Right.
But if you're expecting Mahomes to be on the top side of that regardless – even if it's before them or after them, 40 looks like the number.
Yeah, and you know, we're sitting here and we're talking about these contracts and when they're going to be done, both with Mahomes and Chris Jones. And I think ultimately what I've been hearing and what I've been told is that once these guys get back into the facility, once the players get back, then it's going to start heating up. And that's when we'll really get, feet to the pavement, as they like to say, with the contracts for both Patrick Mahomes and Chris Jones. Right now, it's kind of still fairly quiet, on that front because, well, the players aren't there. There's still, people aren't in facilities. There's still a lot of confusion and whatnot going on from where we're actually going to be in the next couple of weeks. And so they're still trying to figure all of that out. But once the players get back into the facilities, I'm told that's when the contract negotiations for both of those players will truly heat up. And that's when you really, and I say you, I mean all of us, really need to be watching of when something may happen with Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes.
SpotRack's the contract website. If you're not familiar with the fantastic website that delves into all the dollars and in a not geeky way, they break it down a little bit in simpler terms so that we can all kind of understand sometimes what these contracts mean and when it's easy or difficult to get away from contracts. But he told The Drive as well, the narrative that a highest paid player, which it looks like that, if Mahomes gets it, he's going to be the highest paid player at his position and probably all of football. Mm-hmm. The narrative that a highest paid player makes it difficult to do other things is kind of true.
Proof is kind of in the pudding. Every single year I assess the top paid players at each position and I see where they landed in the standings in terms of their respective teams. It generally doesn't bear out well. The highest paid wide receivers and running backs and tight ends and quarterbacks, generally you're not seeing those players with 13, 14 wins and three rounds in the playoffs. So there is some analytics that point to that. And it makes sense. I mean, these are 53, 55-man rosters. You got to fit a lot of cap numbers in there. So if you're going to have somebody with a cap of, upwards of 40, 45 million, which could happen, I didn't get that high with my projection here with Mahomes. I got him to a high of 37 million in 3 years. So in 2022, my projection says he has a $37 million cap figure, which could be okay based on where we are from a league cap standpoint. But if you start approaching $40 million of cap for one player, it's going to be really difficult to make the rest of it all fit in.
Mike Giannitti of Spot says some restructuring could help.
I think Matthew's a perfect example because he's shown that he's going to be here for two more years at least. You could restructure that current base salary and probably drop yourself $4 to $5 million right there. You've already done some work on Sammy Watkins. You could possibly do some more work there, by the way. Kelce's an X factor because he's hitting that 30-year age mark, so for tight ends, it starts to drop off a little bit from here, but he's high. He's over $11 million in cap right now. and he's actually less in cap next year on his contract year. So you've got some wiggle room there. Maybe you can push some cap from this year into next year and just leave it right there. That's essentially what the Minnesota Vikings did with Kyle Rudolph, which I like. So I think between Travis Kelce and Matthew, you get yourself a good start. But really, extending Chris Jones can probably free up the most cap in the next couple of weeks.
Which may or may not prove difficult.
Yeah, it's from everything that I've heard and people I've talked to have said that once the players get back, then it's really going to start to heat up. But I'm going to continue to say this. We as fans spend more time worrying about the salary cap and players' contracts than I think Brett Veach and the organization does. I mean, we all know that salary cap is such an arbitrary number. I mean, we've heard it now from so many people. They can make things work the way that they need to make things work. And I almost think at times when we talk about contracts with guys and whether or not they're going to fit under the cap or how this is going to happen, it's almost like to me like borrowing trouble. Like I've got faith that Brett Veach and this organization know what they're doing. They've won a Super Bowl. They've drafted brilliantly. They're not getting into bad contracts anymore like John Dorsey did with Eric Berry and Justin Houston and Jamal Charles and Dwayne Bowe and like all of those guys. I think they know ultimately, Josh, when to hit it and quit it too. And, you know, you mentioned Travis Kelce coming up after 31 years old. I mean, you know how I feel about that. Thanks. See you later. I don't know that I'm signing a tight end at 31 years old to another contract. And Sammy Watkins, probably after this year, you're done with Sammy Watkins. And so maybe you can sign the Mahomes contract where it doesn't begin until next season. You don't have to worry about it this year. And, you know, you can hide some money or fill his trunk up with cash. Like there's ways that you can get around doing it. And I just maybe I got my blinders on, but I just have a ton of faith in Brett Veach in the front office. They're going to get things done and it's going to be fine.
Well, I mean, I just think some of it's just not avoidable. You know, I mean, you could avoid making the highest paid defender on your team or the highest. You can't avoid making Patrick Mahomes the highest paid. You just can't.
No, you have to. Yeah,
he's going to be in that realm, and so you're gonna have to beat some odds. Maybe if it's very difficult to do such and such and such because you have a big chunk of your. Well, we're gonna have to find out how that works because he's getting it. You know what I mean? So there's a part of it. It's like. There are other places that are like, should you pay your quarterback? There's not.
No, it's how much should you pay your quarterback. Yeah.
He's going to be the highest paid quarterback. Now what are we going to do with the rest of it? Which,
right.
In a way, maybe makes it easier.
And look,
you know it's coming.
And I've said all along, and you know, I know you guys crush me for it, but, I mean, Patrick Mahomes makes guys better around him. And to borrow a line from whoever we had last week, give me the XFL wide receivers. I mean, that's how good Patrick Mahomes is. He's able to elevate the game of everybody around him. And I think we're going to see that, Josh, sooner rather than later, where Patrick Mahomes truly is elevating, because eventually it's going to run out where you can't pay a tight end, you know, $15 million a year. You can't pay a wide receiver $14 million. You can't pay another wide receiver $20 million a year. It's going to come to that where we're going to see Patrick Mahomes elevate players. And if Tom Brady can elevate any Joe Schmo playing wide receiver for him, Patrick Mahomes can do that and then some. Kyle Brandt.
Giannini's thoughts on Chris Jones. We'll get to that on the other side. Plus, a former player sees what's going down next.
Fire, fire, fire.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We heard in the last segment, Mike Giannini from Spot Rack joined the drive yesterday here on 610 Sports Radio discussing Patrick Mahomes and what dollar figure it would take. He's pegging $40 million a season, $120 to $150 million in new money as well to get something done. But he said one of the great impacts of here's how you could pay Mahomes is if you got something done long-term with Chris Jones. So what about Chris Jones?
He's the second tier of Aaron Donald right now because he's shown that he can work outside. He's shown that he can work inside. He can run stuff around a pass pressure. His stats fill up the board when you put him into a calculation like we do. We've got him right at that $20 million mark, basically. A little bit less, but all things considered with a rising salary, he's a $20 million guy. So, you know, you've got him out of $16 million cap and cash tag right now. That's not going to work if you're trying to get other pieces in the puzzle right now. So you can make it work, push that out another 3 to 4 years, similar to what I'm speaking to with Mahomes, and really just half it. If you got to throw a couple of bonuses in there to spread out the dead cap a little bit and make the cap figures lower, you do it. But I think $20 million is the mark for Chris Jones. And it was 18 last year, by the way. So they sort of shot themselves in the foot by waiting.
He got better. Yeah, I mean, but that's the chance you take, though, guys. I mean, you know, you played the odds, and sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And I don't think an extra $2 million a year is like the end of the world or anything.
That's not even
like
a week's worth of smoking.
Exactly. So I mean, like, it was 18 last year, but now they got to pay 20. Well, it's inflation as well. Salary cap went up. It's, you know, at the end of the day, it's all funny money anyway.
Yeah, so, how he explained. Well, you just spread it out and you move this and you slide this and you move the decimal point. And you
carry the one and divide by two, and you're good.
Shows you again, if you're a cap math wizard, you can make it work.
And I listened to everything that he said, and while I'm sure it's very interesting and informative, I don't know what that means. Is it going to play on Sunday?
Well, it told me you can make it work.
Right. You can make anything work.
It's
just
how you write it up.
Yeah, you can make anything work. As we know, in this league, you can make anything work any way you want, however you want to do it, and however you want to disguise it. Oh, this is a roster bonus now, not a signing bonus, or this is a workout bonus, not a, you know. Like, there's so many just different loopholes that you can just spin things through and make sure that everybody gets their money and everybody's taken care of. Like, Chris Jones could conceivably, Josh, have a $10 million bonus in his contract if he makes one tackle for the season. And that's how you can hide some of that money as well. It's bonus money. I mean,
it is funny, though, to think about, like, he's under the franchise tag for this upcoming season, right?
Right.
It'd be more beneficial for Patrick Mahomes' contract if he signs a long-term deal.
That's right.
Well, it's also more beneficial for Chris Jones.
Sure.
So a lot of things can work in that favor as well, but it's just kind of funny how these
contractual things work out. Right, because you could roll all that money into that signing bonus, ultimately, and then that doesn't, I guess, counter what I don't know how it works. Again, Brett Veach is in charge. I trust him. Let him do his job. He'll figure it out. We'll be good.
The math of it is all
got
fun.
A Super Bowl winning GM here. He'll take care of things.
You can check out that full interview they did with Spot Rec on the drive, 610sports.com, via the radio.com app in the on-demand section.
Quite honestly, Josh, that's way over my head. Like, you start talking numbers and math.
Some of it is,
like,
but also the conceptual portion of it is, it's more beneficial for them to have this, and then if you spread it out, you can make it work, and here's how you make it work. Okay, cool.
And that's the thing. That's the thing right there. You can make this thing work, right? As long as you have willing parties on both sides, and clearly Chris Jones wants to stay here in Kansas City, we're going to make this thing happen.
If it was like, hey, the math won't work, and you can only do one?
Right.
I've never heard that.
But then the debate is, well, who do you keep? There's no debate, obviously.
Not much debate.
Right.
Mark Teixeira of ESPN appearing on the Baseball Tonight podcast, former MLBer, of course, but looking at the current state of Major League Baseball, and he says the divide and conquer is underway. MLB pitting the young players against the veterans.
Players are brought up from the very first time you sit down with your union representation in spring training to distrust the owners, and they basically thought that the 50-50 split wasn't going to be fair. I can't trust the revenue, and even though that we all inside the game understand that basically what the players and owners have is a partnership where 50% of the revenue goes to the owners and 50% goes to the players. The players didn't trust what the owners were throwing out there for the numbers that they were going to be making. Okay, so let's get that off the table. Now the owners come back and say, all right, if you don't trust us, here's your deal. And what I see, this sliding pay scale deal, is basically the owners saying, I'm going to pit the young players against the veterans. And the young players, I'm going to bet that the young players want to play, and I'm going to bet that the veterans are going to say, no way, this is ridiculous, and I'm going to let you fight amongst each other until you come back to the table.
Yeah, it's a clear strategy. We've seen the NFL do it, too.
I was just going to say, they saw what the NFL did just weeks ago, right, where Aaron Rodgers and those guys who were making big bucks were like, this is a bad deal, don't sign it. And the majority of players in the NFL are on the lower end of things, and they're like, no, this is a good deal for us. And so ultimately the majority wins, and that's where you go with that. But the thing that he said at the beginning is really why, you know, we're in this situation, why it's gone from a coronavirus issue to a labor issue in Major League Baseball, which it never should have gotten to this point, is because you're brought up not to trust the owners. What kind of place is, I mean, could you imagine that?
All right, rule one
is you don't trust the guy who's giving you all this money to play the game.
Welcome to your dream.
Right. Don't trust the owners.
You guys are here at Major League at spring training. You're about to embark on your career. First rule.
of ownership. Don't trust the ownership.
Don't trust where your check's coming from.
Yeah, don't. And look, you know, I get you know, you want to trust the man, right? You don't want to trust the man. I understand that. I get where you're coming from. But once you've established that, Josh, and once that becomes the line of thinking, then God forbid you suffer a pandemic and you need to get together and work together on something, and you can't.
Oh,
and that's
God.
Where we are right now in Major League Baseball. This isn't a normal work stoppage. This isn't a labor dispute. This is a pandemic that we were going through and still are going through, and it has turned from a pandemic into a labor dispute 2 years before we really need to have a labor dispute. And that's why Major League Baseball right now is in a bad way, why it's embarrassing to watch what they're doing right now, and why a lot of people right now just don't believe that Major League Baseball is going to come back. I talked to a former player yesterday who said, you know, I don't think it's going to come back right now. I mean, there's a lot of people right now with that belief that Major League Baseball,
I felt yesterday like, even though the two sides were far apart, there was enough of, yeah, but they're going to get it done.
Right. And then that kind of changed yesterday.
Like yesterday, I'm like, okay, now maybe you're just hearing from more of the people that have doubt.
Right, maybe. And maybe that may be the case.
That spoke up, because it seemed like no matter where you were, it was, yeah, but they'll figure it out.
Right.
With each passing day, too, you're going to get less of that.
Right. And the other thing is the fact that they've done this so publicly has made people follow every step of the way and you know, have a comment every step of the way. And that's not good either. I mean, we talk about it all the time. What Major League Baseball needs to do is dummy up, find a leader, whoever that may be, not Scott Boras, and let them go out there and speak on behalf of Major League Baseball. But they haven't done that. And that's why I think right now the trust level from fans on Major League Baseball is very, very low. And why I think a lot of people believe that this is just a season that's not going to happen. And it's going to be a sport that's not going to be able to get itself back. Because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that say, good riddance, Major League Baseball, because you've taken a coronavirus pandemic and turned it into a labor dispute in front of a country that has 40 million people unemployed, and nobody wants that right now.
Big story coming up, and it may be the COVID times, but he won't let them off the hook. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Tuesday at this time, Tuesday next week, and throughout the month of June, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8:30. It's the Royals' 5-year reunion. We'll catch up with
they're all coming back
of the 2015 team in radio form. They are all coming back.
Yeah, we're all going to meet together at a Holiday Inn. Like a convention center somewhere.
That would be good. You know, have like, remember those old card shows at hotels?
Yeah. Gonna have like crock pots of little smokies and sausages and meatballs out.
Yeah.
Some finger foods. Ants on a log.
And need to be like random baseball players there that you're like, yeah, I may have heard of that guy.
Greg Pryor's over there.
At various,
I was gonna say Joe Zeb.
Various levels of interested. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
Something like, real happy.
Oh my God, Keith Hernandez! Look at the line he has.
I'm just saying,
Warren Cromartie has nobody,
or the players at various levels of interest. I'm saying,
yeah,
they're all like looking at their phones.
Excited to be there. Another one who you could tell is just doing it for the check.
Yeah, one of them made.
Well,
like,
they're all just doing it for the checks.
But you could also enjoy something even though there's a check, right?
Yeah, you
I feel
could.
Like Eric sure. Kratz would. Was Kratz was on that 15 team, wasn't he?
He's still playing.
Yeah, Eric.
Well,
Kratz
he's on a team now.
He'd be the guy
playing.
That like made T-shirts for the whole thing.
Kratz,
so good to see you guys.
Kratz was the guy who screamed at me, wasn't he, Josh?
No, it was not. I was trying to think of who that was.
No, that was Butera that was on that team. Kratz was the year prior, right?
Yeah,
Kratz was the year prior. You're thinking though the guy that had the flag.
It was
his,
a Greek
in his,
guy
in his locker.
Yeah, who was the Greek catcher?
That wasn't very friendly.
Yeah, it was not nice.
The Greek.
What are you looking at my locker for? Well, there's a flag hanging in front of it, and it's wide open, sir.
Yeah, Justin Maxwell yelled at me.
Who was that guy? Oh, my God. We'd bring it up every time.
He's
we not
on the five-year reunion. Anyway, five-year reunion.
I want to say George Stephanopoulos, but that was not
oh,
it.
Oh, started with a K. Why am I drawing a blank on it, too?
Yes, yes. That wasn't Costos.
Costos, the comedian?
Yeah, right. Yeah, the funny comedian. Yeah. That
come on,
guy.
Text
yeah.
line, help us out.
Help us out. Who the hell was that guy who's
anyway,
Greek?
Tuesdays and Thursdays, 8:30. It's the Royals' 5-year reunion. We'll catch up with a former Royal on that team, or maybe still current Royal. In fact, our first one Tuesday, 8:30, will be Danny Duffy. He shares some incredible stories about that 2015 run. We're going to do it every Tuesday and Thursday. It's the Royals' five-year reunion. Coming up an hour from now, your chance to tell us about your business. Free Business Friday.
Tell us about your business.
Kataris.
Yes, George Kataris.
That's it.
Yeah, that guy.
Grouch.
Yeah, just not a nice guy.
He was very grouchy to us at one point in time. Anyway, 9:30, if you have a business that's reopening, I know I've been in this situation, like, I wonder if that place is open again. Tell us about it. 913-576-7610, Free Business Friday. If you have a business that's open, tell everybody about it. So you'll have 30 seconds to do so, and we'll run through as many as we can coming up at 9:30.
And also, if you have a friend that has a business open and they can't call in, but you can call in on their behalf, that's great. Or I've already gotten a couple of DMs on Twitter. If you want to DM me that the business is open, you're not going to be able to call. We'll mention that as well.
Well, you're only going to get 30 seconds too, Bob.
Right,
so
that's fine. That's all I get. That's fine.
You never take just 30 seconds.
That is true, yeah.
That's why these people buy live reads. They know what they're doing.
That's exactly right.
Time now for the big story.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
On Fesco in the Morning.
Brought to you by Novel Place Senior Living in Overland Park in Blue Springs, a novel choice in senior living. The NFL had a chance to do something fun. And they voted it down yesterday.
I am so disappointed in this.
The owners voting down the alternative to the onside kick would have allowed a team after scoring to opt to not try an onside kick but get the football 4th and 15th to 25. If they convert, they move on. If not, they turn it over in pretty dangerous territory for the opposition. Mm-hmm. Would have been a lot of fun.
You better believe
would've
it.
Would have had a fun ending to some games. Maybe coaches got aggressive and used it to keep teams at bay, play keep away, those types of things. It would have been a fun concept to try. I wish they'd have gotten to it this year.
Yeah, it would have added a lot of excitement for the fans. I think it would have had strategy for the coaches. And I think the most important thing, it would have kept TV viewers a lot longer because, you know, your team's playing 2 minutes ago, they're down, you turn that TV off, you're gone, you go about your day and do your thing. But if you're within a manageable score and there's like 2 minutes left and you know this is in your back pocket and you have the opportunity to use it, you're going to stay with that game a little bit longer. So I think it keeps people watching games a little bit longer, maybe keeps people in the stadium a little bit longer to see how it's all going to play out. I just thought it was a great, great, great rule for everybody because the onside kick has been rendered basically useless in the NFL. It works 11% of the time. And I think Andy Reid.
So 11% of the time it works every time?
Every time. That's right. 89% of the time it fails. You know, in this day and age, I could have given you it fails 89% of the time. But no, I gave you the success rate because I would rather hear about the success rate than the fail rate instead of what the other media does. So ultimately.
Real glass half full kind of guy, aren't you?
I am.
It was a ray of sunshine.
So it only worked 11% of the time, but this gives you something that I think what the conversion rate that Andy Reid figured out was about 30-some percent of the time. So you have a better opportunity to convert. The onside kick with the new rules is pretty much useless right now. And you know what? It's different, and it keeps the overall game evolving.
Admit,
and it gets the
suck.
NFL better.
To that optimism.
I thought it would have been great for the league. And the good thing about it is it was a 16-16 vote, so people are in favor of it. Maybe you tweak it a little bit. But I think ultimately this will be passed. Maybe now was just not the right time to do it. But, man, I was looking forward to it. I thought it could have been a lot of fun for the NFL.
Every one of you sucks.
No.
Listen to that optimism. regular beam of sunshine there.
Perform like you care.
That's actually more optimistic.
This day and age, man, everybody dwells on the negative. Oh, everybody's, you know, suffering.
I could have gone pumpkin picking.
Why not give the positive number first? That's all I'm saying.
I needed a two-thirds majority to pass, and it was 50-50, according to Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. So I'll have to wait for another day. But I love it. I love it.
I think it's fantastic. I think it's so much fun, man.
Would have been fun to see the Chiefs try it in an offensive way rather than a playing from behind.
Yeah, because they're not going to be playing from behind. No.
Well, I don't know how you could say that, but yeah.
I don't. When was the last time the Chiefs trailed in the game, Josh?
Yeah, you're right. It hasn't happened.
You think they even asked Clark to vote? They're like, all right, the rest of you, we already know what you're going to say, Clark.
Yeah. The other 31 of you, you know, third and 15, sure, we'll take that.
Yes.
You see our quarterback? We're good to go. Sign us up.
There's your big story.
Just Chiefs, imagine him passing out the ballots all slow. Clark just gets up real quick, drops it, and leaves. He's the first one out the door.
Yeah, yes.
Done.
Yes. Done. We're good to go.
Chiefs assistant spoke to the media yesterday. Dylan McCullough is the running backs coach for the Chiefs.
How excited was Binkley for this view yesterday?
And, of course, in his room, he's got their first-round draft pick, right? Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Asked about his role in this offense.
Everybody in this offense, all of the halfbacks need to be able to do everything. So they need to be able to do everything, and then we'll let everything sort itself out from there. So, you know, Clyde, he's not going to be pigeonholed in any, hey, man, this guy's a third down backer. This guy's this, this guy's that. He's going to take on everything that the offense has, and then we'll let the chips fall where they may.
I wasn't asking about third down back. I want to know about first and second. No.
Yeah.
But it sounds like that they're trying to make him as – at ease as possible, right? You're going to work your way into this group. We'll see how it shakes out, but you're going to work your way into this running back room that does include Damian Williams, who had, you know, a couple pretty good ends to the last couple of
seasons. He's been the best playoff running back I've seen,
and
maybe ever.
You know, was terrific in the Super Bowl. So pretty good spot to be in.
Yeah, really good spot. Ryan, when the chips fall where they may at your house, do you pick them up and eat them, or do you leave them?
I actually,
the dog,
can I, because we had a nice laugh about the fact that, who was it, Caliendo put out that Jerry Jones video where he's talking about the five-second rule.
I think about it in the shower.
How the five-second rule has completely been changed. I dropped a chip yesterday when I was making lunch, and I looked at it on the ground for approximately 3 seconds. I ate it.
You ate it. You got to get the germs to build up your immunity.
It's my kitchen. It's not like I dropped it
But if it was just like a regular Lay's, you're like, okay, but what kind of chip was it?
It was a kettle cooked salt and vinegar.
Yeah, that's an expensive chip. You're eating that. Yeah,
it was good. I mean, I got
that's
a
not
deal.
The that's not the great deal. Value chip that Josh would buy. Okay?
That's
not the generic potato chip that Josh would purchase. You drop those on the floor, you can say, all right, fine. But you got a kettle cooked chip.
That's right.
That's an expensive chip. You're shopping. You're shopping the JoCo life, bro.
If you're not picking it up, you're just dropping the same quality. You just didn't spend as much.
There's not generic kettle cooked, is there? That takes a process.
Oh, there's generic. Oh,
it takes a kettle.
Chip.
I mean,
it's all generic. Tons of generic.
I will
chip.
Let you know
how much
one
of those copper kettles cost.
I do
those
get like the, cheap. I do get the Walmart brand like Doritos. They have a Glacier Ranch, which is really.
You got to be kidding me!
Why would I make that up? Out of all
that's
the things,
cooler
like,
than
Glacier
that's
Ranch,
colder than cool.
they're terrific. I have no problem with Glacier.
Why don't they just call them Ice Cold Ranch?
I'm fine with that too.
Glacier,
and then they put more ranch flavoring, so it's Ice Colder Ranch.
They're good, man. They're good. Tell your friends like $1.20 too. It's
Glacier Ranch
like
chips.
A third of the cost of a bag of Doritos.
That's not even a week's work of smoking.
And they're good, right?
They are. They're delicious.
That's right. See,
I got this right though, right? They call them Glacier Ranch.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, that's the name of them. Glacier Ranch, great value.
And the regular ones are called Not Your Cheese Doritos?
I think
chips?
They're just called Nacho Cheese.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah, that's not trademark.
No trademark on that one?
No trademark on Nacho
Ranch.
Cheese.
Dylan McCullough on how the running back roles will shake out.
You want to get all these guys out there. You want to get going and see what we got. One thing we know is on, just looking at some guys' pass and the snapshots we got of guys, whether it be DeAndre at Washington, obviously with Durrell and Damian, Darwin with us, and then you look at where we drafted Clyde and what his body of work was in college. We got some high end players in our room, and I know what the guys that are returning, some guys that we feel comfortable with. But again, you always want to continue to enhance the room and create competition and just raise the level of the room. And I think that's what we have. How it all shakes down ultimately, we're gonna let that thing play out on the football field. That's the beauty of our game. We get a chance to go up. And let's see what's what. So, and the whole room knows that, man, and these guys looking forward to it. Get along well, very competitive. However, very supportive also. And they know at the end of the day, what they do is going to speak to where their role is when the season gets started. So I'm looking forward to that.
Just like Pac-Man that had Inky, Pinky, Blinky, and Clyde.
Right.
The Chiefs room has D, 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 and Clyde. They're all D's.
Did you look that up?
No.
No, he knows that.
How did you know the name of the ghost?
He has
from Pac-Man
at home, yeah. Man. He plays that thing every day.
Everybody knows that. Inky, Pinky, Blinky, and Clyde.
No, I didn't know any of those at all.
Daryl, Darwin.
But what are the ghost's name is Clyde?
In between screens, you know, and they give you the story of Pac-Man. Yeah, it was always there.
The story of Pac-Man?
Well, you have to know where it came from. It just
in between the screens, you know, where they had the interludes between your screens, and they give you the story of Pac-Man.
Huh? Yeah, the loading time. Yeah, basically. Yeah. So you have Darwin, you have Damien, you have Daryl. Yeah. You have DeAndre, and now you have Clyde.
And Clyde.
Yeah.
Bunch of D's.
All D's and a Clyde.
Bunch of D's in that locker room.
Yeah.
Someone's saying we have to try the chili garlic great value chip.
What is that generic of then? What would be the what's the real name for that?
I don't know, maybe the sweet chili, but I don't think that's no, because that doesn't have a garlic flavor. A texter added that his dad was a Frito-Lay guy, so they know good chips. I don't know how that, like, because he brought you home chips a lot?
Yes, because when you work at Frito-Lay, you probably get a lot of that for free.
Kind
of
like
my
how
buddy Britt's mother worked for Frito-Lay. They always had Frito-Lay chips.
Kind of like how Loaf always brings us an Oreos?
Yes.
Yeah, those are good.
It's a good fringe benefit.
You're not getting a raise this year, but all the chips you want.
Clyde's been compared to another D as well.
Who?
Darren Sproles.
Oh.
So there's just all about D's. Dylan McCall was asked if this is fair.
You start looking at stature and you start just, you know, comparing guys to other people. I don't know. I mean, you see those, you know, you look at the stature and the body build and everything. Yeah, you can start doing those things. But until I'm on the, you know, get him on the field on this level, you know, and we start doing some of the things we ask them to do on this level, I don't think that's a fair comparison until Clyde actually put his cleats on and put a Chiefs uniform on and go out there and start balling, which I expect him to do, and then we'll go from there.
It is a weird season, right?
It is. Like, Dylan McCullough wanted to answer that question. Go, how the hell do I know?
I haven't even met I haven't met the kid yet.
I don't even really know where he lives right now, like, let alone whether he could be Darren Sproles.
I've waved over Zoom.
Coach, do you think he can be Darren Sproles? How? I don't know.
How did you know who asked that question, by the way?
I'm just guessing.
Dead on impressive.
Was I right?
Yeah, you were right.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. I mean,
you're just saying?
Yeah, just saying.
Nerd.
But, I mean, how do you know what this guy's going to be or can be by watching on tape or, you know, talking to him via Zoom? Like legitimately the expectation level for rookies this year has to be zero. You cannot have an expectation for any of these guys because it's unfair because they haven't had any of this on-field stuff. They have not had practices. They've had nothing. Thank God we're not a team that is changing a quarterback this year, and we don't have a first-round quarterback and a number one pick coming in a quarterback this year because I think there's going to be unfair expectations on Tua. I think there's going to be unfair expectations on Joe Burrow and a lot of these guys that are taking over that quarterback position. Like, pandemic or not, fans expect you to go out there and win football games right away, and I just think that's impossible to ask a young quarterback to do right now. And that's why I also think it's impossible to put expectations on, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire and to say whether he's going to be Darren Sproles or he's going to be, you know, Emmitt Smith or whatever the case may be. You just got to let it play out. We may not know what Clyde Edwards-Helaire really is until the season is finally over. And even if he doesn't have a good year, you can't sit there and label the guy a bust because he didn't have an offseason this year.
I mean, I do for a first-round pick at a skill position that they're counting on. But ultimately, I do agree with you. He's in a system where he should be allowed to develop a little bit. You've got a strange offseason where you might not get in all the work you're going to get, but you still invested a first-round pick. You're still going to need to see something out of him in year one.
And yeah. I think more importantly to that, too, like I am willing to give you a little leeway on the, like, you know, preparation and coming out of the gates and, you know, just really being, you know, hot right off the jump because of the way that the offseason's been. But I think that when you consider, like, the contract that Patrick Mahomes is going to get and the fact that Brett Veach is going to have to be really good at filling in around him on these guys that are on rookie contracts, right? Like, you don't have the luxury, once Patrick Mahomes inks that mega contract, you don't have the luxury of having a guy come in the first round in a skill position that doesn't produce and perform right away, because that's the idea of how you keep your team afloat, is by bringing in these guys on these four-year deals that are going to be cheap, and then after 4 years, you turn and burn, or you pick the right ones and you give them a second deal. Like, you don't have the luxury of, and this year you do. So you know, again, there's a little bit of a, you know, I'm giving some leeway on this, but I think going forward, you don't have that leeway anymore, man. Like, that's how you're going to continue to build forward. That's how you're going to keep this, you know, as a lot of people think, this dynasty going, is that you're going to be able to backfill with guys that are on rookie deals. So, you know, when you say, I don't think that you have expectations for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I understand because of the offseason and how weird it's been, but I think going forward, like, you absolutely have to get 2-3 guys that are going to be each year people that produce and perform, and then they don't have to be starters.
No,
but
question.
I'm talking about,
I don't,
like, like, you have to get legitimate players, and we saw that last year.
Yeah.
With Juan Thornhill, you saw that with Mecole Hardman, but there have been a lot of swings and misses sometimes, and I think that, you know, like Breland Speaks, like, comes to mind right away. That was a guy that Brett Veach moved up to draft. That was a guy that he went after, and he saw some things in. And what have we seen from Breland Speaks? I mean, nothing, and then injury, and then he was suspended for a violation of the performance enhanced or substance abuse, right? Or it was. Was it PEDs? Either way, he had like a 4-game suspension when he was already out. Like, things have just been weird with that one. So, like, there are ones that we can hang our hat on. Sure, he was a guy beating the desk for Mahomes. He got Juan Thornhill brought in here. Like, there have been some nice players to add around it. But I think going forward, and especially once Mahomes puts pen to paper on that big deal, like, you can't afford to miss in the first, second rounds.
No, I don't disagree with that at all, but I'm just saying, like, this year, I think the expectation level for every draft pick, every player in the draft, has to be tempered a little bit, because you didn't get the normal work, you didn't get to see these guys, and ultimately, you may have a mini camp still, and I think the NFL probably still will have a mini camp, but ultimately, the first time a lot of these coaches are going to see these players really on the field is going to be in St. Joe, a training camp, or wherever training camp is held this year for NFL teams, and, you know, I just think asking those guys to come in and be a productive star right away, I think you're going to have to wait a couple of weeks and maybe half the season to the end of the year to you really find out what you have in these guys.
Andy Reid was on the Rich Eisen show yesterday and discussed the trick play.
The Rose Bowl play.
It's the Rose Bowl play, I guess it's come to know. The spinny play where they lined up, spun, and ended up not quite getting a touchdown, but a first down.
Sure.
Went for that fourth down early in the game at the Super Bowl. And just another example of Andy digging deep in old plays to come up with something different on the big stage. But he tells a story of the Rose Bowl play.
By chance, this past summer, I went to a function with my old high school coaches and back in Los Angeles. And the offensive coordinator that we had in high school hands me a tape, and he goes, "This is the 48 Rose Bowl." I had the 49 one. He goes, "This is a 48 Rose Bowl. Coach Dean Dill was the quarterback for SC in this game." So I go, "Oh, wow, that's pretty amazing." And so I went through it and looked at it, and it was the same stuff. I mean, it was the same plays. And I go, "Oh, man, this is going in. I mean, we got to put a couple of these plays in. You know, these are incredible plays." So we had a couple of them. We practiced them all season. I reminded the officials all year that, listen, we're going to line up the quarterback here. We're going to spin around. We're going to do, but it's going to be a dive. You know, that's what the play is going to end up being. We're legal. And then of all the games to forget to tell them, I didn't tell them in the Super Bowl. I didn't have a chance before they were heading for the door.
Right.
And one of the officials goes, "Listen, I've done your last three or four games. He goes, "Are you still running that play from the Rose Bowl?" I go, "Oh, absolutely. We're running it today." And he goes, "You still haven't run that?" I said, "No, we haven't run it. You know, so it's coming. It's coming."
That's terrific.
Yeah. And they said they would have run it sooner in the season, but Sammy Watkins couldn't spin properly. Andy Reid said he's got like size 14 feet. and they kept getting tangled up. So every time they asked them to do it.
The synchronization of it is beautiful.
It's
fantastic.
You watch
it play again, you're like, it just looks cool. And then
right.
The fact that it's just a simple dive play is funny at the end of it, right?
Right.
But the setup of it is great. But well, you got to nail it so you're all together.
That's right. It's really good. And you look up Dean Dill. He's passed. He died at 88 years ago. But it says he was the star quarterback of USC in the late 40s, leading the Trojans to that 48 Rose Bowl win against Michigan.
Andy very excited to hear Dean Dill's name.
Dean
so
Dill.
Whatever.
Baker's yeah. like, I remember Dean Dill's offenses. They were really good. He was drafted by the Lions and played 5 years with different professional teams. After returning to L.A., he taught and coached at Marshall High School, where he led the Barristers to several Northern League football
the Marshall
championships.
Marshall Barristers. Yes. That's a good name.
He's survived by his wife, Dottie Dill, Dean Dill Jr., and daughter, Darlene. So a lot of D's in that family,
yeah.
too.
And then they're
Dean, Dottie, Dean Jr., and Darlene.
And then their dog, and then Clyde.
Their dog, Clyde. Yes. That's exactly right. Not to be confused with Dean Dill, who used to be the magician on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Was he the guy that's responsible for the French onion dip?
That is him, yes. It's his dip. Yeah, well, I mean, Dean's dip, and you got Dill in the name. Absolutely.
I may Google the magician that was on the Tonight Show.
Yeah, the Dean Dill story.
After the show today.
Everybody knows Coach Dean Dill did this.
So as soon as he got hooked with Dean Dill, of all things, and then put the play in the playbook, warned the officials for a while.
Yeah, I had no idea what you were talking about until you brought up Dean Dill.
Dean Dill, and then you're like, oh, yeah.
Well, but what I think is
funny. Why
did
you say that earlier?
Is Andy's like saying in that story, he's like, we've had the same officials for the last three games, and so I forgot to warn them. They came up to me and said, what about the player or whatever it is? And they go, have you run it yet? And he's like, you've been here for the last three games. Like, you would have known if we had run the player. You're not watching what we're doing out here, sir. Like that was the one to me that, like really got me. He goes, yeah, they've been out here for the last three games. I've been telling them. And then, they asked if I've run it yet. Like, no, you're here. You're on the field.
We found something that's benefited from COVID. According to New York Yankees reliever Adam Ottavino, the Astros are the ones that benefit from COVID.
I like how you pronounce that.
Is that how it is?
Ottavino, yeah.
It's Ottavino,
I just said it really fast. It was good.
Adam Ottavino.
I've always wanted to say Ottaviano.
You did.
It's Ottavino.
Carne asada to him is what you did.
Yeah, it is. Adam Ottavino. It's a very nice name. Just rolls like carne asada.
I'll have the Adam Ottavino.
He spoke with the New York Daily News and says he's not forgotten. The Astros may be trying to get away with this stuff, but he's not going to forget.
I don't think people are going to forget it, but I think it's helping them because that was the story of spring training up until the virus. That was all day, every day. It was already to the point where it was exhausting. And I think that once the season started, they were going to be in for a lot of hatred from fans around the country. So to me, I think this is helping them, especially when they come back. There's definitely not going to be any fans in the stands, so. I think it helps them. I mean, some of them have kind of come out of the cave and been back on social media and doing all their stuff. And, good for them. Power to them. They're learning how to have that thick skin, I guess. But I think it helps them. I mean, it was definitely coming down on them pretty hard before this.
So they caught a break. They caught a break with the pause. It's true.
Yeah, right? They have. Absolutely.
You might not have full ballparks. They might not be able to get after there was that original, or not original, one of the early plans had the Astros and the Dodgers in the same division. We're like, ooh.
No, I still think that is the plan where the West will play the West in the crossover.
Oh, that's true. They will still play in the crossover.
Well, if they play. I mean, baseball can't figure out which way is left.
Well, then who knows what the proposals look like once we get to the end of it. But
I'm sure there'll be something in there they don't like.
They definitely caught a break because once we do get back you might just be happy they're back, and maybe it dissipates. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think, once you get back to full stadiums, hopefully next year, obviously, you've come out in full force and still boo the Houston Astros. Like, I don't think, the coronavirus lets them off the hook for the fact that they're the biggest cheaters in baseball since the 1919 Black Sox scandal,
I would like to think we won't forget.
Yeah.
Takes Adam Ottavino to the world to remind us.
I have the Adam Ottavino.
I'm going to set a reminder for Siri right now.
Would you like super salad with that, sir?
Some Dean's Dill Dip.
Yeah, I would like Coach Dean Dill's
my
Dip.
My Adam Ottavino.
Hey, Siri, remind me next April to boo the Astros.
There it is.
Did she respond?
I've added it to reminders.
There you go.
There you go. See, she's on it.
That'd be so great. I suggest
everyone else do the same. That way, none of us forget. We could help each other remember.
That would be good. 9:30. You're gonna have an opportunity to plug your business. If you have a business that's reopening, that's back open, maybe you need to tell people about it. I know I've been in that camp going, hey, I wonder if that place is open right now. Your chance to tell everyone all about it. 913-576-7610 coming up at 9:30. We'll do a little free business Friday. So you have 30 seconds to promote your business and get the word out. So we'll do that coming up at 9:30. Speaking of that number, 913-576-7610, not only the phone number now, but the text number as well going forward. It's a one-stop number. So program that into your phone, 913-576-7610.
So Ryan's got a new cell phone at the station?
10.
You can take phone calls and texts on that?
Right, and Ryan is encouraging pictures as well.
That's right. Can you send pictures to the text line? Has anybody tried to do that yet?
I mean, I'll send one right now and see if it happens.
All right, send it to yourself and see what happens.
Matt House is the linebackers coach for the Chiefs. He spoke to the media yesterday as well and discussed entering year two essentially with this defense.
I think the great thing about when you're in the second year of a scheme and the second year with a room where there's not a ton of change, you get to get a lot more in the detail of the why. Why are we calling this? Why do we install it this way? Why are we teaching this specific technique this way? So you're teaching, when you first put in a scheme, you're teaching base level, here's your assignment, okay? And then it gets a little more detailed as you get that first OTA to training camp, et cetera, et cetera. But now when you sit back and you can peel it off, you get to teach the why a lot more. And you know, what's the strengths, what's the weaknesses, and why are we doing this? Why are we calling it?
Ah, so you're at the stage where that annoying kid just keeps asking you why.
Why? We were watching the Titanic last night. So they were questions they were asking during the, just watch the movie.
They were telling them how to do it, and now they're to the why phase. I don't know if that's good. He's pitching it as it being good, and I'm not so sure.
No, the why phase is never good.
It's annoying.
Yeah, why? Well, because.
Just do it. Just run it.
Yeah, just trust me on this.
Just run the defense, man.
Look, we want to.
Why? Why does it work? Why are you calling it this way?
We won a Super Bowl last year. Just go ahead and go out there and do it.
This could backfire.
Why?
You guys.
Why? Because I love you. That's why.
Really backfire.
How long until he says, because I said so?
Yeah. Just, and he stomps out of the room.
So, damn it.
He shuts off the Zoom.
Go ask your mother.
Oh, we only got that 40-minute session because we're using the free Zoom. Goodbye.
He just leaves the room, and he's out.
Out.
What kind of questions do they have about Titanic? All of them?
All of them. Are those dead bodies? Why did they die? What's going, like, everything.
Why is the guy still playing the violin?
Yeah, that was 100%.
Shut
was
up, little girls.
Yeah. Just watch the movie. How many people died? How cold was the water? All very good questions.
Did they get hung up on the name?
Yes, they did. Oh, they thought the name was great at the beginning when they saw it. Titanic, Titanic. They laughed.
They didn't pronounce it that way?
No.
Adam Ottavino'd it?
No, what? They did not Adam Ottavino it, yeah.
Ottavino. Staff Hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas Titanic. City's home for car audio since 1967. Santa Fe Auto Sound.
Fire, fire.
So Casey's name is coming up again. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.